Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. We take questions from the audience all over the nation, and we ended the program last week with one or two people on the line that we didn't have time for, but the lines are completely open right now. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The lines are completely open. It's easy to get in, easier to get in more toward the beginning of the program than the end. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or a comment. Last week, we were talking about the verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, where Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Now, Lord doesn't necessarily mean God. Lord simply means boss. Jesus is our ultimate boss. He's our Lord. And he's wondering why people call him Lord, but don't do the things that he says. A lot of people call Jesus Lord, but they don't make him Lord. They don't live as if he is their Lord. I illustrated that last week with a sports banquet I've been to recently where a famous football player was inducted, given an award, and he began his speech in a great way by giving Jesus Christ credit. But he ended his speech by saying a cuss word. And what I concluded was he called Jesus Lord, but he wasn't willing to make Jesus Lord. He talked about the Lord, gave the Lord credit, and that's good, but he ended his speech with a cuss word. Calling Jesus Lord, but not making him his Lord. That's what I concluded. Now, as we had to go off the air last week, we're talking about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where God commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So we have this command that Christians ought to attend church, basically, Hebrews 10, 25. We see that from other passages also. One person called in and said, "I think I can be a Christian without attending church." And I immediately read 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, where the Bible says, "Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him." And so one of the commandments that we're to keep as New Testament Christians is this commandment in Hebrews 10, 25, to attend church with other Christians. If we don't keep that commandments, but we say that we know God, we say that we're a Christian, this verse, 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, calls us a liar. We don't have to keep the Old Testament commandments anymore. The Old Testament is no longer binding. But there are a number of commandments in the New Testament, and we should try to keep those commandments. We shouldn't just call Jesus Lord. We should make him Lord. Bill from Ohio, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Right before your program was John MacArthur's Q&A, and I've listened to him for almost 40 years. Since I became a Christian in 78. And my wife passed away in 2010, and it was under very extenuating circumstances. So I've had extreme issues of questioning my faith and trusting the Lord. We had three daughters. We were betrayed by both the Christian churches that we attended. Came against us, and my wife had, you know, very extenuating circumstances, had multiple suicide attempts. So I've dealt with issues of faith and truth in God's word. And there's what you were just talking about. It's interesting that, you know, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, but I haven't been to a church in almost 10 years, but I worship and I fellowship with the Lord like I'm doing now via satellite radio and regular radio, listening to John MacArthur and other teachers. And I used to be critical of some of these teachers, like Joel Osteen. I went into a Christian bookstore, Lifeway Christian bookstore, and they banned all of his materials because he's supposedly from this Word of Faith movement. And I'm thinking, Well, God's word is a word of faith. It's a word of living water, and it sustained me through all of this trauma that my family has gone through.
Hey, Bill. Bill, whereabouts you live in? Don't tell me exactly, but whereabouts you live in Ohio?
In Cincinnati.
Could you give me some way to contact you, and maybe I can recommend to you a congregation that would be following the truth in that area, and you could visit them and see compare them to where you've been in the past. Could you perhaps give me your email address or send me an email?
Sure, yeah, I can do that.
Well, send me an email. Are you driving right now or are you at home?
No, I'm at home.
Okay, go ahead and send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. And let's have a further conversation about this. Okay, Bill?
Okay, Bible
Crossfire.
I'm writing it down on my phone. Bible Crossfire.
@email.com.
Okay.
Send me an email. Let's talk about this further.
Oh, I'd love to. Now, I've been to Bible college. My late wife and I were going to go into the mission field, and you know, I've been through that walk through the valley of the shadow of death and very extreme situations. And what I see is that people coming against other Christians, even Christians that I highly respect, I've listened to for 30 and 40 years, coming against other Christians because they don't teach God's word in the same way that they teach it. So they're called, they're heretics because they're word of faith believers or something.
Well, I don't know about Joe Osteen. I definitely don't recommend him, but the Bible does teach that you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. So things different from the truth will not make us free. Bill, give me an email, and we'll talk a bit about this later off the air, if you don't mind. Tony from Alberta, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I'm just wondering about the fellow that had the cuss word at the end of what he was doing. I'm a young believer, and I've been baptized recently. I've given myself to Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. You know, I was a bit of a wild kid, I would say, and I grew up with a wild bunch, and was a bit of a cusser, and my language was poor, and my life was poor. But I do find that the more I read the gospel daily, I read it every day, I go to church, I attend a small group as well, and I'm trying to live right. However, I do have times when I feel that myself overpowers what I would consider the Holy Spirit. Like, the more I become aware of the gospel, I feel like my conscience and my Holy Spirit become stronger and stronger every day. But I do have times where it's so hard, or I spout off and I'll catch myself cursing. Like, I've probably reduced my cursing by 80 to 90%, but when I do, I feel terrible about doing it, but I mean, it's still there, and I find that I'm getting better slowly over time, but it's not like, oh, I decided I became a Christian and all of a sudden the light goes off. I mean, it's something that's being developed within me. So how do you feel about that?
Well, Tony, sometimes old habits are hard to break, but the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, for example, and this is not the only passage, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so we are not to say cuss words. And it may be hard to break the habit, but we have to break that habit because the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. Bill from Toronto, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Bill?
Very good. I used to phone into your program when you first came on back in 2015, anyways, I haven't been on in over a year now. I spent 1 year incarcerated in jail.
Welcome back, Bill.
Well, I was thrown into jail by a fundamentalist church that would be a fundamentalist like you, that would teach the same things you do. Now, I oppose this church on some of their teachings, particularly divorce and remarriage. Anyways, they had me thrown in jail for 1 year. The morning of trial, all the charges were dropped. The charges were uttering death threats to the church and a few others. Now, this church clearly teaches their congregation by no means as Christians are we to take another Christian to a court of law. So my question would be, how would these guys justify doing this to me? And one thing they do teach also is that if we have any sin on the day of judgment in our life, any sin that is not repented of, that we will perish. So now these guys had me thrown in jail, which is obviously sin. Is against the is contrary to the word of God. So how can these guys justify that?
In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 6, we'll start with verse 1. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the just. Verse 6 says, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. So it is condemned to take your brother to law. But perhaps, Bill, they did not consider you to be a brother in Christ. They didn't consider you to be a Christian. Therefore, they would have every right to take a person to law if that person is not a Christian. Now, as far as divorce and remarriage is concerned, Matthew 19:9, Jesus stated what the law is, the New Testament law. Whoever puts away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. So we need to stand for the truth on divorce and remarriage. Most churches don't stand for the truth on that. Many of them have 20 to 30% of their membership are in their second and third marriages. They fellowship these people, act like it's all right when the Bible says, Jesus says, if you divorce them for any reason other than fornication and remarry, the second marriage is adulterous. Yet many churches just allow that to go on. They don't toe the line on what Jesus says. Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please, Phil.
Hi, Patrick. Full disclosure, I believe that person's church attendance record has absolutely nothing to do with where they spend eternity. So with that said, last week on the program, a caller asked if he chooses to go to church only one time per month, would that disqualify him from heaven? And my question is, exactly how many times per month do you need to go to church to be able to check that box and qualify for heaven?
Good question, Phil. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, you compare that to 1 Corinthians 10:16, we know that's talking about eat the Lord's Supper. It says, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And so the early disciples, the congregations back then, the New Testament churches, came together every first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper and have preaching. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to come together every first day of the week for the Lord's Supper and have preaching. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 10:25 would teach us that any time the congregation we're a member holds services, we ought to be there. That's a command, Hebrews 10:25, and we should obey the commands of God. For example, in James chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So we have to obey. We should obey all of God's Word, not just most of it. And so if God's Word commands us, requires us, encourages us to meet with the congregation every first day of the week, whenever they meet, then we ought to be there. We can't just leave that off because God said through the inspired writer James that whoever will keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, even if that one point is just missing church, he's guilty of the whole thing. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, and being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So if we're not obeying Jesus, whether we're saying cuss words, or we're not attending church like we ought to, then we're not obeying Jesus. The only people that are going to be eternally saved, according to this verse, are those that obey Him. Now, I know a lot of preachers, a lot of Bible teachers, a lot of people claim to be Christians think we don't have to go to church. We don't really have to obey Him. All we have to do is accept Christ as our personal Savior. We don't really have to obey Him. But this verse says, Jesus became the author, meaning the source, of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. That means if you're not obeying Him, and James 2:10 says, if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. If we're not obeying Him and all of the New Testament law, then eternal salvation will escape us. Now, am I saying you can't be forgiven? No. A Christian, as the caller said before, he's trying hard as he can. This person, not to cuss, but he slips up every now and then. He's trying to break this old habit. When he does that, he needs to repent. Sincerely repent and ask God to forgive him. Acts 8 verse 22 says, if you'll do that, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So God will forgive you if you'll repent, if you'll confess, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Of course, to begin with, to be a Christian, before you can even ask for something like that, is you have to be a Christian. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we have to do that to start with in order to become a Christian, be forgiven for all of the past sins. Then we're in a position, after that, after we're a Christian, when we sin, we can repent and confess our sins, and God will forgive us. But if we refuse to confess, if we refuse to attend church like we ought to, then we violate, even if it's just one point, we're guilty of the whole thing. Only those, Jesus is only the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. I didn't make that up, just reading it right out of the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only do we have to believe in God to know God, but we have to obey the gospel to be saved. Obey is the word I have underlined on my outline. We believe in God, we know God, and then we must obey the gospel. I asked you, have you obeyed the gospel? Do you even know what it means to obey the gospel? Give us a call if you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. Matthew 7:21 continues this list of passages that show that we have to obey God to be saved. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you see, it's not that just those who call Jesus Lord, but those who make him Lord. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, to do not the things that I say? The only ones that will enter heaven, according to Matthew 7:21, are the ones that do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Kendall from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was just listening to you, and I was calling about a surety of salvation. What is your view on a surety of salvation?
Well, the Bible says, hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. That's in 1 John. So the way we have assurance of our salvation, according to the Bible, is if we obey His commandments. We know if we're obeying God's commandments or not. And so I was reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if we claim to be a Christian, but we're not keeping His commandments, of course we don't have any assurance of our salvation. But verse 3 of 1 John 2 says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So the way we have assurance of our salvation is if we keep His commandments. Alex from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Alex, you're on the air.
Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Let's say that a husband and wife divorce because one of them commits adultery. Okay. The person that filed for divorce did not commit adultery, and of course, you know, didn't want reconciliation. What would that mean for the person that committed adultery? I mean, they can't go back because the other person doesn't want them back. Mm-hmm. So what happens to that person? I mean, if they confess their sin to the Lord, where does that leave them?
Alex, good question. The verse I read earlier from Matthew 19:9 answers that question. The second part of it does. Let me read that again. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 19:9. Listen to me, Alex. It says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." Now notice this second part. "And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." So in the case you were talking about, if a man puts away his wife because she's committing adultery, he's free to remarry according to this verse, but the second part of the verse applies to her. Whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. So she's not free to remarry. Got about 5 more minutes left in the program. Mitchell from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Brother Patrick, I'm calling and wanting to know the scripture where it says that God tells us to come together on the first day of the week. I'll hang up and let you give me the answer over there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Very good question. And I read a passage that helps us to see that earlier. Acts 20, verse 7, says, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," and we know that's talking about eating the Lord's Supper when you compare it to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. "When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, continued his speech until midnight." So here we have the disciples come together on the first day of the week. In our society, we call that Sunday, in order to eat the Lord's Supper and have preaching. Also in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." That's why the congregation I worship with, not only do we come together on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper, to have preaching, we also have the collection, according to, because we're trying to obey this command in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. There are two passages that show us that the church in this dispensation, New Testament law, should come together on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. Steve, we're about to run out of time. Steve from Washington, Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, I was just going to follow up real quickly on the brother that just called about if he got divorced. The biggest issue is he can have a hardened heart, and then your options are one of two things, be single or reconcile. So I just want to encourage him in that. And that remarriage is adultery. So to not go that direction and to have a soft heart and be willing to receive back his wife if she repents, just as Jesus does to us when we repent and come back to him.
Steve, you're exactly right. The two options are remain single or reconcile. 1 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11, it says, "Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband." And
amen.
So you're exactly right, Steve.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for your call. So we've been talking about tonight what Jesus said in Luke 6:46. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" We can't just call Jesus Lord and expect to be saved. No, only those that obey Jesus will have eternal salvation, according to Hebrews 5, verse 9. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." So the way our souls are cleansed is by obeying the truth. Just believing in Jesus is not enough. We have to obey the truth. And it's not just obeying anything. It has to be obeying the truth. If we obey false doctrine, our souls will not be purified. And so going back to Luke 6:46, we can't just call Jesus Lord. We have to make him Lord in our life and obey him, submit to him. Appreciate you listening tonight. Be sure and listen next week at this same time. BibleCrossfire@email.com is my email address.